Well, hello and welcome back to episode 67 of Talking Marketing. I am Chetna, your host, your producer, and your guide through the minds of marketers actually doing the work. Let's get into our today's guest. My guests today have between them built, shaped, launched some of the most recognizable brands in food and consumer culture. Shannon Salzano is Executive Director of Creative and Partnerships at Milk Bar, the Christina Tosi founded brand that has built one of the most fiercely loyal creative communities in the food industry. Charlie Hodges is a Senior Brand Marketing Manager at Krispy Kreme, with a career that has taken him from J&J's powerhouse portfolio, think Tylenol, Zyrtec, Benadryl, to leading brand and innovation strategy in the CPG world. Together, they are behind one of the most talked about brand collabs in the recent memory, 2 years and a million donut samples in the making, Milk Bar and Krispy Kreme collection. We are getting into all of it today, the creative process, the tension, the risk, and the story behind how it actually came together. Let's get into it. Welcome, Shannon. Welcome, Charlie. How are you both?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, excited to be here. Thank you.
Let's dive straight into it. Charlie, you went from Chick-fil-A to J&J to Krispy Kreme. Shannon, from editor to creative director to Milk Bar. Neither path was straight. What did those turns teach you about how what it actually takes to build a brand people genuinely love?
You go first, Charlie.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's so fascinating about marketing and the sort of paths that we create for ourselves is, you know, there isn't a straight shot and everybody's experience is going to be a little bit different. But I think for me, you know, one of the things that I learned was, you know, there are some consistencies across what brands do that make them really successful. And I think the first is, you know, really knowing where you're established in the mind of the consumer, right? As we progress in our careers, we grow and learn about how the consumer thinks and feels about our brands, thinks and feels about marketing. And as much as that changes, there are some universal truths that really never change. And I think, you know, one of the things that I love about working on the Krispy Kreme brand is that universal truth for us is shared moments of joy, right? And being a part of those moments through a product like Krispy Kreme.
Totally. Well said. I think similarly, my twists and turns, you know, I started an editorial and I left it because I was so bored. I was really young and I was already like, how am I going to do this for the rest of my life? And then I got into creative work and hospitality because I just loved it. And ever since then, I've really had this like North Star theory that if you don't love it, you can't expect others to love it. So how am I going to show up every day and bring that enthusiasm? And it's really just making sure you're constantly connected with that joy, with that power that Charlie's talking about to make sure you're representing all of those people who are looking for that with your brand.
I have a follow-up question on this. Did either of you think that this is what your twists and turns would lead you up?
I have an English degree. So the thought that I would be doing what I'm doing now, although I do write cookbooks, so I always tell my dad, you know, money well spent on that part of it. I don't think that when you're a little girl, you know, jobs like this exist and that you get paid to like eat cookies and talk about donuts all day. So no, I don't think in my wildest dreams I could have thought, but sure, glad it came true.
Yeah, no, likewise. I think I started my college education as a psychology major. And it was actually a really interesting a mentor of mine who said, well, you know, marketing is just the psychology of how and why people buy things. And that was a light bulb for me. Yes. And it sort of like took me in this journey that has always been about trying to unlock the way the consumer thinks. And at the end of the day, that's what I find joy in. And that's what I think is the universal struggle in marketing is figuring out how to unlock that.
Yeah, when you figure it out, you let me know, Charlie.
From English majors to psychology majors, this surely has been a very non-linear path for both of you. And I feel you both are currently really enjoying the career paths that have shaped up into your future. So, yeah, I hope this gives us all of hope. So, Charlie, akin to you, I'm a sociology major. I did sociology and then now marketing. And all of my teachings from sociology somehow creep up in marketing. And I am ever fondly reminded that, you know, nothing is in its own isolation bubble. It's all connected. And somehow you just figure it out where to see from there. So, yeah.
So true. You're all just rehearsing every day for the moment at hand, right? Every little thing is like a little nugget you can call in. The amount, you know, I didn't think I'd be using an English degree to do my work, but I'm definitely doing it now until AI takes it away from me. You know, we'll see.
So talking about brand culture is one of those things that lives in the value deck but dies in the Tuesday morning meeting. What does it actually look like when it's working, not on the poster on the wall, but the decision that gets made differently because of it?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think what we try and really pride ourselves on is just creative thinking. So I feel like we, first of all, try and do everything as a business creatively. Like, what's the most creative approach you can take to finance and, real estate and all the different things of it? I think that putting something like creativity or joy or enthusiasm at the core of every business decision helps it really sing through. So you're reminded, right? Reminding folks in those Tuesday morning meetings, like, no, remember, creativity is what we're all chasing down here, and everyone's a little bit more warmed up to the same thing.
Yeah, and I think what you're talking about, Shannon, right, is like it's pushing accountability down to the folks that are really doing the day-to-day. And I think that's, yeah, we have things that are written on the wall at Krispy Kreme. And I think when you look at some of the values that we try to instill, things like thinking and acting like an owner, right? It's easy to say that. But if you don't have a leadership team that's pushing that accountability, that's expecting you to think and act like an owner, that's expecting you to demonstrate that, and then rewarding that behavior. That to me is the difference. But it starts with, in my opinion, it's got to be that leadership accountability, really forcing each individual in their role and their critical impact on the business to think like that.
I want to ask, when you were collaborating, did you have one of those fond memories of, okay, this is the product that I will buy with my own money, no matter that it is my own company's product, but for this, I will definitely pay money?
Absolutely. I mean, for us, if it's not a heck yes, it's a heck no. So it's like, if I'm not willing to shell out, I'm not like going to put it out into that world. If I'm not trying to eat that whole collection of donuts, I don't expect someone else is going to want to. So
Absolutely.
we, and I think we'll get maybe into this as we keep talking about, but we zigged and zagged a few times on what the flavor was going to be for this. Milk Bar is known for a lot of different things, and Krispy Kreme is just brilliant at all of their R&D, have an incredible team. And at some point, we're like, you know what? This isn't it yet. And they were so good to like help us, relentlessly chase down what is it and know it when we got it. So I think Charlie and I would both, spend our money on this one. And I'm sure he thinks this about the other products that they bring to market and what we bring to market. It's not ready until it's ready. And you have to be a bold partner in that and be like, I'm not going to buy this, you guys, and trust that everyone else will have your back and like feel the same way. I think everyone knows that when they land on it.
Yeah, and I'll take it a step further and say, we've got a handful of folks in the office, including myself, who are like, these are some of the best donuts we've ever made, and how can we get them back sooner? So yeah, but you're absolutely right, Shannon. I think being proud of the product is sort of like a table stakes, right? Like we can't put forward a product that we can't be proud of. Consumers are going to see right through that. Right. So at the end of the day, that's what it starts with. And that's what I loved about, the collaboration and our culinary team and the Milk Bar culinary teams working so closely to ensure that we got just an amazing product to market.
That's amazing. That's amazing to hear. Krispy Kreme is a global machine. Milk Bar has its own specific soul. How do you protect creative integrity when the organization built around you is built for scale, not for nuance?
I think a lot of that is just finding the partner, like making sure you know real quick if someone's going to have your back, if they're going to rep you the way that you want. We always feel protective of our brand showing up with these larger than life, huge, huge operators like Krispy Kreme, because we're like, we're just, the little guy here. We're just bringing in our heart and soul and all of that. And that's really important to us, but will it be important to them? Are they going to get lost in the like operations and the metrics and all of the like cogs and the stuff that kind of gets in the way of the best product sometimes, but when your partner's like fighting for the thing alongside you, that they're gonna rep you the best that they can. And Krispy Kreme from like day one had that with us. They really just saw us for who we were. We're excited and open to all of our feedback because that's what we were really bringing to the table was that kind of energy. And I think you just have to put the trust in that kind of thing. And I hope Charlie trusted us enough to know where there's a will, there's a way.
Well, and I think you also have to be careful to bring too much ego into a conversation like that, right? I mean, Krispy Kreme certainly has the opportunity to partner with a lot of incredible partners, but we take those partnerships really seriously. I mean, I take the partnership really seriously. I'm entrusted with that brand, what that brand means to its consumers, what it means to the people that are huge brand fans. There are people who love Milk Bar just as much as the people who love Krispy Kreme. And so, you know, what an honor and an opportunity it is for us to get to bring that brand to life in a new way, in a different way, to reach new consumers. But you know, there's a lot of responsibility that comes along with that, and we do take it really seriously.
And I think part of that is like the reason people partner is to be pushed out of their comfort zones. You know, like Krispy Kreme could make a wonderful birthday donut without us. Like, but it's really meant to expand everyone a little bit, push into new zones, new ways of working. And you can only do that when you're willing to like kind of adjust your process a bit to like let that collaborator in. So as much as it is like a well-oiled machine that's, you know, knows what it's up against and how all of the processes work, they're willing to flex on it because they know the power of a good collaboration when they see it.
100%.
I think I should have asked this question in the start because this partnership was built 2 years ago and it reportedly a million donut samples in the making. Take us back to the very beginning. How did Milk Bar and Krispy Kreme even end up in the same room? And what made you both say yes?
Yeah, I think our love story is a good one in that it's really organic. Like we truly came together as brands out of mutual love. And a lot of the way our brand works, Milk Bar works, is through our founder, Christina Tosi. She is just a lover of life and a lover of food and a lover of all good things in life and has a real passion for the things that she's passionate about. So when she likes a brand or a product or whatever, she kind of sings it quite loud and proud. And she's been a Krispy Kreme fan, I think, you know, going back a long time. So she was just out in the streets, kind of talking about it a lot, repping it on social, you know, posting. She's just like going in for the drops, talking about it, and eventually came to know Josh, who's the president of Krispy Kreme. They're just, you know, I think a couple of casual social things and through social. And he saw in us as well this like enthusiastic brand and really saw our founder for the wonderful creative force that she is. And I think they fell a little bit in love. And then it was really from there, you know, how do we make this happen? Not should we make this happen. But that's from my side of the story. I don't know. Charlie's going to be like, no, that's not what it was.
No, that's, I mean, I think, you know, having been a part of some of the earliest conversations, you know, a couple of years ago, it was really a matter of when and not if, right? I think, you know, Shannon, to your point, we saw the energy and the authenticity and the sort of creativity that Christina had put into everything she had done. And we wanted to be a part of that, right? When you have those sort of the shared connective tissues, fun, authenticity, those types of things, yeah, I mean, it just feels like it feels like it's a natural progression to find a way to partner together.
Completely.
You're taking Milk Bar's most iconic desserts, birthday cake, Milk Bar pie, compost cookie, and asking them to live inside a Krispy Kreme donut. How do you protect what makes those things Milk Bar when they are now in someone else's product?
It's a good question. I think it's kind of multifaceted. One is that we just really know what makes each of those products special, like flavor-wise, viz-wise. Like we've just lived with them for so long that we really know. Birthday cake is more than just like something tasting like vanilla. Is it the right vanilla? Can you taste like the batter of the cake? Like, do the sprinkles even have the right texture? Like, you really know all of the different little flavor chords that need to be struck for it to come together in a composed way that's like, that's Milk Bar's birthday cake. That's not just vanilla, which I think a lot of people phone in on that and they don't know exactly the right strings to pull. So it never connects fully. But we have done a lot of time in just like understanding our product to that level. Milk Bar pie, compost cookie, like we could just, you know, I could smell it and tell you that that's what that is. We just live it day to day and they've been around for 18 years. So that helps with some of that. You know, we've developed those things into like hand soap and candles and all sorts of stuff with the same energy that is like, what is this product really communicating? And does it do it? When you close your eyes, does it feel like that exact slice of cake? So I think that's an education part. And then it's just like a lot of tinkering and a lot of having a good partner who lets you tinker and tells you, like, this is the formula for this. And lets Christina, our founder, and our R&D team really get in and say, like, can we up this just 5%? Can we take this down? The wonderful chefs at Krispy Kreme were such, I think, the best partners we've ever had in that fact where our feedback can get really granular and they weren't afraid of it. They were constantly open to it and also wanted to just get the closest to it as possible. They were ordering Milk Bar. I kept saying, I'll send you more cakes. And like, no, we ordered them. We've got them. No worries. because they were chasing the same thing we were chasing, which just helps it all work a lot better. And I think it's just, having the trust that you're going to get there and knowing that we all are after the same thing. Like I said, we were going after it was a cereal milk glazed donut. Maybe one day it'll come to life. You heard it here first on this podcast, but we just couldn't, it never quite tasted just like that famous milk bar cereal milk. And at one point, someone on the Krispy Kreme team, I think, was like, let's just try a different flavor then. Like, that's okay. Let's just like move on to the next. You've got other good ones. And maybe we'll come back to that at some point. But it's just kind of knowing what's working, what's not, and recklessly chasing it down.
I think she said it all. I think of all the things that I get to work on, I get to trust the culinary team to do what they do best. And I think that's, probably where it all started was that just the culinary powerhouses being in the kitchen and making sure that we got donuts we could be really proud of.
Yeah, and they're incredible in that they'll say to you, yeah, this looks really good on this one donut, but as we take it and make more donuts and it's, in the grocery store, wherever it might show up, these are the realities that it's going to have to go through. So you might be pushing for like a more viscous filling or something along those lines, and that's not the way the product might show up best. So it's really also trusting your partner's expertise in their own product, knowing that they're trying to make it the best on their side of the aisle as well.
Shannon, when you said earlier that this is the most perfect love story, when you both talk about how this partnership came to be alive, it actually shows. So going back and forth, and having each of your queries being resolved and seeing that everyone is on the same page must be a beautiful feeling. I do want to talk more about this and like how it feels to be in the room where your product is not just your own, now it is being accepted into another family. It's not even a brand at this point. It's become a family. So it's now being accepted in another family, and it is being appreciated as much as you appreciate it. So I really want to get more into that partnership aspect. So how does it change you? Like when you look back, how does this collaboration shift Milk Bar or Krispy Kreme as a brand and the ways it outlasts the donuts themselves?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think for us, some of our goals as a company, as a brand, are just to put our treats in as many people's hands as possible. Like, we just want everyone in all corners of the world to be able to have Milk Bar in their life. And we're not going to open a bakery in every corner of the country, We're not going to show up all the places that there are Krispy Kremes. And to some degree, because there just are wonderful brands doing that already. That's not necessarily our place in this flywheel of dessert and of indulgence. And so really the best way for us to do that is to find partners who show up there and show up with them and let our brand carry through, right? So when something does work and it is in those places, it just reinforces for us the power of that, the power of community, and that we have folks who live in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, and it's like for us to be able to give them access to Milk Bar, something they've seen online and they've been a part of our community digitally, access to enjoy the treats finally, the cake they've seen 100 times. It just really inspires us to keep chasing that down and keep growing and to open ourselves up to partners into these larger ways of working, knowing that we're small in so many ways because we protect ourselves in this really deliberate fashion, but that there's so much power in accessibility.
Yeah, I mean, I would say for us, reminding ourselves and our team of the power of authenticity, right? Sort of mentioned that already, but I think when you look at brands and brand collaborations that are successful, I think it starts there most of the time. And what I'm sort of reminded of throughout this entire experience is, we get the opportunity to work with a lot of great partners, but Shannon and the team at Milk Bar have been superior in partnership, in collaboration, in providing really thoughtful, considerate feedback to say, hey, here's a great idea. How can we work together and build this even further? Brainstorming, problem solving, right? Because like you said, 2 years, there were things that came up, right? Not everything is going to be perfect. Not every single thing is going to happen the way that you expect it to happen. It's so much easier when you have a partner that links arms with you because you guys are both set on the same goals, the same objectives, the same outcomes. And you can look at each other at the end of the day and say, hey, we have this really cool, authentic opportunity to do something that our consumers are going to love. Maybe surprise them a little bit, but that at the end of the day, they're really going to love. And I think that for me was, just a refreshing reminder, right? Because we do so much, we go so fast, they're so busy to take the time. And that's why I was so excited to be able to jump on and do this podcast today. It's like, it is nice to sort of sit back and reflect on some of the cool things you've done in your career.
I think so many folks were excited because of that almost like small guy, big guy energy that we have to show to see us show up and like to see, on social or through media like Milk Bar and Krispy Kreme. Just the like they were like, wait, what? It is like a little bit outside the box in the sense of scale of that to the point where it like breaks through the noise and people get excited about it and it feels a little bit like just special and magical in the sense that like that has to almost be out of shared love because like why else are those brands showing up together? I think it's outside of the box in a way that excited a lot of people.
Charlie, like you said, it has been 2 years and it's a long time that it has been, and definitely there were ups and downs. Where did this nearly fall apart?
I don't think that we ever got to a place where it felt like it was going to fall apart, but I think what made that not what kept us from getting there was I think that we started from a very clear understanding, shared outcomes. This is what the goal is. This is what this is going to be. And this is what this is not going to be, right? We talk about it a lot in our building where you can't be all things to all people. That's true with partners too, right? We're not going to solve every single business problem that another business might have. And we don't expect a partner to come in and solve all of ours, but the collective working together towards a common goal means that when those things come up, especially if you have a really solid partner, you just get on a phone call and you're like, okay, here's the opportunity that we have at hand. How do we address this? Honestly, I don't really think we had many of those things. I think there were opportunities, as Shannon's already highlighted in the product development, to ensure we got it right. But again, that's not a problem. That was always the goal, right? It was always the goal to make sure we got it just right.
At no point were they like, this is the donut, tough. No, it was always like, we'll all know together when we feel happy about it. And I think the other truth of it is like, these things almost fall apart every day and never, like every step of it is hard. So every step is an opportunity where it could go off the rails and you both have to be locked in arm, like Charlie said, to be like, okay, we're taking that step together and we're taking this step together. And when you're not doing that, that's where it splits and that's where it falls apart. So I think we were lucky and we've both worked with a lot of partners. It's not always this way. God bless. Sometimes you have to be a little bit more like coming and putting in a lot of effort and reminding folks of that shared goal that you have. I think this one was just special in that they inherently knew without me having to say, like, I never had to vibe check them on making sure we're chasing the same thing. I knew that we were. So it just helped every step. Like where the things could go wrong, they just weren't going wrong.
Any specific memory both you have that you wouldn't want to share at this time?
Wow, specific memories.
Like you said, the cake pops were a huge thing, and then you were checking on what size of the sprinkle were. So anything like that?
Oh gosh, the amount of hilarious emails you would see if you read our chains, where it's just like, can we get the goo to be gooier? And can we get this? And then I think what you'd also see in those emails is just like so much enthusiasm and so much like from their team. I could tell when they sent me a photo of packaging, they freaking loved it. And they were like excited for me to see it because they knew I would love it. And they were open to feedback, but it was everyone really feeling proud, I think, so much along the way, which is just a signal you're doing something right, because then other people are going to get that energy when it's out in market. So I think there's a lot of moments like that where I would get on a call with Charlie and his partner Maddie, and they would both just be like ready to like tell me something. I could tell they had something they were excited about, and that it was maybe not, status quo for them, even though they're chasing down. Charlie's being humble. They're doing things like this, all not like this exactly, but a lot of partners, a lot of innovation, a lot of flavor releases. He's spinning a lot of plates at once. So when he gets on with me and is like lit up, I'm just like, I feel so honored by that.
I think the thing that I reflect back on the most and that I will value the most is the number of times that I sent Shannon an email with like a, hey, what do you think if we wanted to do this? And it was always met with, oh my gosh, yes, that sounds amazing. What else can we do? I just think there's so much of that. It's the enthusiasm is infectious, right? And that is, It's not always the case. To Shannon's point, I think we both have had the privilege of working with some incredible partners, both in the quality of their brand, but in the quality of their people. But there is that enthusiasm is not always there. It's not consistent. It's challenging at best. And when you get the chance to work on something that you get really excited about with a partner that's really excited to work with you, that's where to me that this was just a really like special opportunity, and it created a lot of energy for a lot of people.
So, Charlie, it would be fair to say this was one of your favorite partnerships ever?
100%, 100%. Yeah. And
Ever.
the event we got to do in Times Square was icing on the donut, no pun
Share more
intended.
about it.
Yeah, so I mean, I think one of the things early on in our concepting around how we were going to go to market with this campaign was we knew we wanted to do something different and disruptive, right? Milk Bar, a brand that is highly involved in social, right? A lot of social content, just a lot of viral moments, and so we wanted to sort of think through how we could take that that already sort of exists in that ecosystem and do something special. And we have this amazing flagship shop in Times Square, and it is somewhat underutilized for us today, and the ability for us to sort of do these creative things. And so we had a couple of different ideas. We brainstormed together, connected with Shannon, and ultimately landed on this really, really fun, one of a kind experience for us to invite some influencers and some media in to really experience the donut making process, the Times Square shop, have Christina come and do what she does best and engage the fun group of influencers to sort of show them how she gets inspired in the kitchen, and a little bit more about how these donuts came to life. And it was just a lot of fun to get to give that experience to folks that we get to live it every single day. We have a kitchen right there in our Charlotte, North Carolina office, and I get to see how the donuts get made. But to be able to bring that into this experience with some of these really fun influencers was just a really unique and fun experience for me.
Jenna, it was one of the best days of work I've ever had. Just showing up at Krispy Kreme Times Square, which was so iconic. The best thing about Times Square, I'm not afraid to say that on the record, it was just like so joyful. And we worked together on the invite list, and Krispy Kreme helped us so much with all of this incredibly well-executed planning. His team was like turning over tables. It was just like so well planned on their part. And when we reached out to invite our community into it, what was it? 100% people said yes. Like everyone was just like immediately into it. And these influencers have 5, 6 million followers, just like truly megastar influencers. And they all were so quick to be like, Milk Bar and Krispy Kreme, like I'm there. Like, let me see how the donuts are made. Put me behind the line. Put me on the rooftop of Times Square. Really, really incredible stuff. We get to do all sorts of kooky stuff. We're in New York all the time, and it was still huge, even for us.
That's amazing. I feel sad that I'm not an influencer today, and I was not at that
Don't
event.
we all? Don't we all feel sad that we're not
You might be able to
influencers?
get you a special backstage pass. You just
Take
let
him
me
up
know.
on that.
I'll definitely do that. Let me become an overnight success, just like right now. For all our listeners who are doing currently brand collaborations, brand partnerships, what's the one thing that this collab has taught you about brand partnerships that you genuinely did not see coming?
Wow, on my side, we constantly dream like who is the person you really want to partner with? And I'd say like the one of the biggest things I didn't see coming is like you can reach your dreams, like that you can really find the number one person on your list, and one day they're gonna say yes to you because it is just out of love, and it is out of this shared sense of what you have is special and what they have is special. So I feel like no fear in shooting your shot, like have some faith that if you're really doing something incredible in the world that people are resonating with, your dream partner is within reach, and you just maybe have to flirt with them online for a while and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it continued to reinforce for me the importance of the partner selection process, right? Yes, as a brand like Krispy Kreme, we have a lot of people that are interested in partnering with us, and of course, that is we take that seriously, and of course there's a lot of like humility in that. It also requires, especially as more brands do more partnerships, right? There's a level of consumers can see through the bull, right? They can see it, they can acknowledge like this isn't authentic. This doesn't feel right for this brand. Where did this come from? Without it being obvious, right? There are also partners that are maybe a little too obvious. And I think this was the perfect marriage of something that didn't feel obvious to Shannon's earlier point, but also felt like, oh yeah, actually that makes a lot of sense. And so from that standpoint, right, making sure it's really authentic, but also making sure that you're partnering with a partner who does have that shared value system that is, interested in doing the same thing, that does sort of work at the same pace, at the same speed, with the same sort of vision. That's how, in my history and experience, that's how partnerships fall apart, is when you have very different expectations of either how the partnership is going to go or how quickly you can move to execute a partnership. So those are the things I think just continue to reinforce for me. I think the other guidance I would give, though, to Shannon's point on partnership is you really don't know until you ask, right? There are so many times where we get in our own way as marketers, right? We think we know what the consumer wants, or we think we know what another brand might think. I love just being willing to be open to conversation. It's one of the things that I try to stress to my colleagues and counterparts is like, be open to a conversation. If you're afraid to have the conversation or you're too busy to have the conversation, you're going to miss out on some of the really, really interesting things that can happen.
So true. That's how we got in there. And I think it's what's the idiom that it's like you can't do a good deal with a bad partner and you can't do a bad deal with a good partner. Like it's really, really true. So making sure that you're aligning with a good one is just going to set you up for success. And you'll know a bad one, I think, when you kind of see it.
That's really golden advice from both of you. And having landed so many successful partnerships, I don't think there is any better person to ask these questions about. One thing before we actually go, because you both have had non-linear paths to where you have landed, any guidance that you would want to provide to our future marketers or like the current marketers really starting our journeys into marketing?
Yeah, I think on my side, it's like surrounding yourself with people who believe in you but will push you. I've been in a hospitality for a while, worked under two basically incredible women chefs, and they just championed me every step of the way, but also pushed me and would be a little bit like, I know you can do better than this. I know that that's you're not bringing all of your creativity to this problem. That's, I think, been the key to me finding my way through all of it, is having someone who gives me the space and the trust to like try things on for size, has confidence that I'll at least figure it out enough to say I'm not figuring this out well. Can you help me here? But will kind of also remind me of my own power and that I'm not exactly where I need to be in a really like I see you and I believe in you kind of way. Those people are rare. Charlie's one of those people. He's often taking calls to give people advice. People hit him up in the DMs because he's had such an incredible career and he's really generous with his time. I know I'm going to abuse him in the future and pick his ear about things because he's got such a good POV. But it's finding those people like Charlie and like Christina, my boss, to say, what am I doing here? Does this make sense? What do you see for me that I can't see? And having the kind of luck to find those people and really take them for all the patience they'll give you, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's a couple of things for me. I think some of the best advice that I got early on in my career was to just be curious, right? I think it's so easy in our careers to sort of say, oh, I see that person's job and I know that's the job that I want. I found myself constantly being surprised by what I thought a role was going to be. I tell people on a regular basis, one of the favorite brands that I ever worked on was Tux. It's a hemorrhoid cream. Nobody would have expected you to ever love that job. And I loved it because it was a challenge. It was one of the most challenging opportunities I've ever had. And so for me, I think I've sort of tried to just constantly be curious. I don't know what the next thing is going to hold for me. I haven't been rigid about what I knew I wanted in the next step. That comes with challenges, right? Because it's harder than to articulate to a mentor who wants to help you facilitate and grow your career if you don't have this, like, I want this in my next step. But I think that's been one for me. I think the other thing is I've been very intentional about getting as many different types of experiences as possible. I have friends who have been very successful working on the same brand, doing the same role, doing the same thing. And by the way, like the depth of knowledge they have is probably vastly superior to me. But what I think is my trade-off in and what I've used to be sort of a superpower for me in marketing is I've experienced everything. I've worked on brands with $10,000 budgets and worked on brands with $100 million budgets. And I've worked on startup brands and brands that are 150 years old. And so, it has given me this sense of I don't, nothing really hits me as like, oh my gosh, I can't possibly figure this out. It's just a, okay, we figure out the next challenge and we do that. But that has come for me from being intentional about being uncomfortable,
Oof.
right? I want that. I want to feel uncomfortable in my role because if I'm not, I'm not growing.
Yeah. That's some freaking
Yeah.
Charlie wisdom right there.
Really, really golden advice over here. And when you say to be intentional about how you are approaching, I feel that I am following your footsteps. I am trying to be very curious about opportunities. That's how I got this podcast with you both. Brian, of our team, he commented my name on Shannon's post, and then that's how I struck up this conversation with Shannon. And then I asked again, okay, would you be interested in having your Krispy Kreme partner on this? And here you are in this conversation. So
Here it is.
being curious and being intentional really pays off beautifully. And I'm so happy to have had this conversation with both of you today because this has enlightened, and also because this is a personal corner for me. I love brand collaborations. I'm really excited about how to position a brand strategically. And to have you both and talk about how this beautiful partnership of yours has come across. And 2 years into it, we have the best products, which I think I'm going to ask. You have to say which flavor is favorite of yours in the whole lineup?
Tough. It's Christina always says, it's like, choosing one of your children. The one that I'm going to think about irresponsibly for a long time, I think, is the Milk Bar Pie donut, which had this just like filling that I would just take a bubble bath in. It was so good. It's just our Milk Bar Pie is, it's been around for 18 years. It's iconic. I think people snooze on it. It's just like this little brown pie. You forget how delicious it is. And they just really nailed that donut. The birthday and the compost were very, very good, but that milk bar pie is going to haunt me for a while.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for a cake donut. So it's the birthday cake donut for me. And Maddie, my counterpart on the team, that was a huge, huge part of making this collaboration come to life, was it's her favorite donut of all time now. And I think I echo her sentiment. It's just like there's something really special that we can do with a cake donut, and I'm a sucker for sprinkles. I worked on sprinkles in a prior role and love them. I've got a 4-year-old who loves sprinkles, so yeah, that one was probably the one that will haunt me for a while.
I do love the joy of just seeing an adult man crush a sprinkle covered donut in the middle of the afternoon. I feel like you really know you're onto
Absolutely.
something when that is what you've struck. That's just a lot of joy in one image.
Absolutely.
Wow, I would never have guessed these options out of all the flavors that you have. But yeah, thank you so much for being on this podcast because we have thoroughly enjoyed. And let me tell you, our team in Boston is crazy excited about this conversation to be happening, and they all send their thank yous for being our guest on the show. So again, thank you so much from all of us to be on the show and enlighten us with your journey in Milk Bar and Krispy Kreme collaboration. Thank you.
Thank you
Of
for letting
course.
us talk about it. We had such a joy working together, working on this project. This is just more opportunity for us to get to hang out, and I love that.
100%. Yeah, and if you guys need some treats as you're working on editing this thing and bringing it home, let us know.
Yes, please sign me up. Where's the form where I can fill this up? Because I'm really, excited to try. And I don't have much of a sweet tooth, but this is one of the things that America has changed in me. I now have developed this sweet corner and this sweet tooth. And I have actually crashed out on donuts. So yes, please sign me up. I am very excited to receive this. Thank you so much.
Of course.